Grass and Fern.
Hey, listeners. You're playing an episode of Taking It Down, which is produced by the website The Alabama Tape. If you're not familiar with it, there are musings and revelations on pop culture and beyond, and you can keep updated on it through any of the social media sites for the website, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are a pop culture show, and today I'm flying solo. There is no Donovan, no Adam today, which is unusual. I usually have a Donovan or an Adam or even a Natalie to help sort through some analysis on a set of TV shows or movies or pieces of music. So tune in again next week and or listen to an older episode to hear those bits. They're a lot of fun. Today I'm going to give my short thoughts on a new Hulu movie, Plan B, which was directed by Natalie Morales and stars a young cast of relative newcomers. Then after the first segment for today, I plan on delving into some things we've never done before, which is a real-world issue of mental health stripped from any pop culture entryway to get to it. Things may get serious, I don't know, and that may not be for everyone, but we'll see how that goes after the break. Let's get into today's short version of Taking It Down. So the good news, hopefully, is that we've stopped with our opening segment that we did for well over a year, which is checking in with what's up with COVID-19. So at this point, we're all vaxxed at the site and on this podcast, and we hope you are too. Hopefully, you're like us as well as being vaxxed, that you're easing back into some things while taking, I don't know, maybe a few precautions as needed. Anyway, no more on that front. We're done with that. Hopefully, that never comes back. Let's talk about the new Hulu movie, Plan B, which came out on the streaming service on Friday. It's directed by Natalie Morales, as I said at the top of the show. You may know her from her stint as Lucy on Parks and Rec. She's, I guess, primarily known as an actress, and she appeared on that show as Tom Haverford's love interest for a while. But this year, you know, she's got two movies that she's directed, and this is the first release of the two. Plan B stars two young ladies, Kuho Verma, as an Indian student named Sunny, and her friend is Lupe. She is a Latinx friend who is played by Victoria Morales. Both of these ladies attend your usual high school, as you see in all these teen movies, but with the exception that they're in South Dakota. That's a little unusual for me. Normally you see in these movies the setting be an unnamed part of LA or California. I'm not big on revealing plot for my dissection of some of this, at least not until I get into spoilers, and I'm not going to spoil anything from this movie, really. Let's just say that both of the young ladies come from strict homes. One of them needs a Plan B pill, hence the title, which she has a lot of trouble finding, and that, of course, leads to several odd and amusing situations. This is a comedy. Overall, I thought it was a fine movie. I don't know that I'd call it great because it was a typical fare with plenty of tropes you always find with this sort of movie, and I don't think the movie was doing anything with the tropes for the most part. In fact, I would venture to say that this movie was quite close to the film Booksmart, with the differences being a more diverse cast, maybe, and a better locale with it being in the heartland of America to study on some of these themes. So that at times makes the movie play differently. The setting makes the movie play a little differently, which, by the way, you don't find that out until about halfway through. So, but that's fun. I think the movie makes a case for itself, though, and does so quite well in the last act, where it actually drills down beyond high school and teenage comedy and gets to its thematic core. It handles that part pretty well. I'll be vague about that just to say that the last act, I think it handles well. The resolution is handled professionally and makes a case for the movie existing. My complaints, though, with Plan B is that it just lacks on some gut-busting with laughter moments. There are two body set pieces that are supposed to be, I think, those two big, huge laugh-out-loud moments, but they just didn't get the chuckle from me. The two ladies playing Sunny and Lupe were great, and I think as the film went on, Verma, who plays Sunny, really, forgive this pun, but she really shines. I look forward to seeing her in more things because she was really, really good. So my verdict is that I would recommend this movie to pretty much everyone, especially if you're just looking to chill out, watch a somewhat typical high school fare a bit of a farce. It's okay for that, I think. So that's my take on Plan B on Hulu. Let's get into our break here. So we at Taking It Down and the website The Alabama Tape, we do not have ads, but feel free to visit our site, and if you want, click on Shop, which will take you to our online store, or click on Donate. That takes you to several choices where you can make a Patreon-like donation without any subscription at all. And hey, I can tell you here that the YouTube series Short Takes, which is out every Friday, brought to you by The Alabama Tape, will feature guest Blake Williamson this coming Friday. So if you listen to us on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's episode will be Lee Baines III and the Glory Fires drummer, as well as musician on his own, Blake Williamson. A lot more on that in Short Takes this week. You can find our YouTube channel via the site or by searching on YouTube and clicking subscribe. That will help get us seen. Last week I had a great time hosting one of the Drive-By Truckers frontmen, Patterson Hood. So if you missed that, it's going to be on YouTube for quite a while. You can go back and watch it as you try maybe to heal from the weekend. You know you'd rather do that than be at work. So Short Takes on the Alabama Take website or the Alabama Take YouTube channel. Go find it. Subscribe, share it. Let's get back into today's show of Taking It Down. So for today's episode, I wanted to just talk about some general things related to mental health, sans a pop culture door to walk through. I'm not one to know what sort of month is related to what sort of cause or anything like that. That's just not on my radar much at all. I did notice that May was Mental Health Awareness, I think. And it's just like me that I'm finally saying something about it on the first day of June. I would see memes or even just, you know, little notifications that people post, those little cards on Instagram and people's stories about mental health. And it's one of those causes that I nod along to knowingly, maybe even get more interested in than other things. But growing up in the 80s, and if you're a child of the 70s, 80s, or 90s, or even earlier than that, you know this quite well. No one I knew talked about mental health, other than saying, like at school, that someone was special or someone was just flat out crazy. Very rude looking back. I didn't think I fell into those two categories at all, so the less said on it, the better back then. But that wasn't the case at all, and it crept up on me a little at a time for a while. It takes hindsight for me to say it, but I ended up struggling so deeply with my own mental health as a preteen, teenager, and adult, definitely as an adult, that I didn't even know that's what it was. I knew that I was different and that I thought differently from everyone, or assumed I did, and that just put me in a position of such extreme loneliness that I would do anything to try to connect. And when you pair that with this natural tendency to want to be alone or to be distant from people for periods at a time to recharge as an introvert, I just made some just very poor relationships all around for the most part. And I was under the assumption that no one else felt this way. It was so also simple for me to slip back into that belief that no one could possibly feel the ways that I do. And it still can be simple for me to fall back into that thinking. And which ways are that? Like, which ways of thinking am I talking about? Well, to be honest, for me, it's a lot of self-loathing. I've got a few hints on where it comes from. I'm not going to bore you with the details. Counseling and a few other things have really helped me pinpoint a few things, and I want to take a brief second or two to shout out to Corey Ryan Forrester. If you know him from his stand-up, from Twitter, from Instagram, you know that he is a hilariously funny guy, a comedian who does these wonderful comedic videos on both platforms of Twitter and Instagram, and that also converts into his stage set as well. It's very funny. But however, lately I've noticed that he'll tweet or make a video explaining his own struggle with mental health. And I'm not going to speak for him, but you can find those online on Twitter and Instagram, Corey Ryan Forrester. But Corey, in part without his knowing, gave me a little inspiration to talk about this concerning me. So thanks to Corey. And then last night I had to come face to face with how my mind really stops me from being as good as I can be. I think that I can be good, despite what my mind wants me to think and feel. But the paradox is that I can't be good as long as I listen to that voice inside of me say what it wants me to believe. It truly wants me to think, this voice inside of me, that my mistakes are the be-all, end-all, that whatever I don't do to fix something, or if I don't give it my all, or if I don't do it correctly, or if I don't do what is conceived to be the perfect way of fixing something, that I should just never try to fix it. And that includes my own state of mind. That voice tells me to give up. That voice tells me that whatever I do, no matter what happens, I should not, absolutely not, talk to anyone about how I've got an internal voice that says these things, that says that I'm a loser, or worse, a big piece of shit. It can get that dark some days. So back when I was vaguely aware that something was amiss, I suppose this was around 03 or 04, I just went straight to a general practitioner and said as much and got a prescription for antidepressants. And that was good. Those truly helped me. And I think that those have a reason for existing. I guess I was 28 or so, and I took those for about a year, maybe longer. And then I didn't have insurance suddenly. So I stopped them cold turkey, because they went from being maybe $10 a month to being $66 a month. And I clearly remember them being $66 when the insurance stops covering them, because in 2004, with the job I had, I could not afford another expense. So I just quit them. And I was lucky in that stopping those antidepressants didn't hinder me. At least I don't remember. I bet they did. I just didn't know what to expect, or I didn't realize I was being bothered. But I've also heard it can be rough, to the point where stopping them cold turkey like that can be very noticeable. So fast forward many years, and again, I'm lucky. I've got quality insurance. I'm able to return to some medication that tends to help with my issues. It's a balancing act. I'm trying to figure out which one does what, which one's going to be the best. A little of that going on. But here's the thing, though. One small obstacle in my mind wants to immediately shut down. It wants to quit. Like I said, if it's admitting it or talking to someone, that's usually the immediate deal breaker. Access to mental health coverage, or the lack of access, just astounds me. For a while, talking to a counselor or a psychologist or psychiatrist would cost me about $50 a visit for like a copay or whatever. And once again, I am lucky. That's changed. They've went down a little for that, and I hope it stays low. But what have I done on that front? Very little. The obstacles there are both internal and external, and usually combined. In order for me to find a doctor to try to help me with mental issues, just like specific doctor for mental issues, I have to dig in an insurance book, which is online somewhere. It's a PDF. It's hard to find. I've got to figure out through some convoluted language who's in network for me, determine which one's the best for me just as a person. And that's some trial and error, time-consuming, days-long hurdles. And then they have to test the right prescriptions or treatments. And that takes, a month, often longer, to determine how they're working. And that's not to mention trying to work it into a schedule when working, have a career, raising kids, trying to live. It's enough to make you want to quit before you even start, which is where I find myself at times. There's a tangent here I could enter, and I think I will, where I'll just say I cannot believe that mental health and dental health and vision health aren't even a part of some insurance packages. What the fuck? Your mind, your teeth, and your eyes aren't even part of your health per the insurance company, per an employer. So, thanks, capitalism, asshole. So, some of what helps me the most is just talking to someone, especially someone of a like mind. It makes me feel a lot less alone. In fact, sometimes talking to someone who don't quite get it can make it a little worse in some cases. When I find someone who have similar issues, it makes me feel like I'm not the only one who hears this inner voice that's out to get me. So why did I pick this as a segment? Well, for me, mainly for me, a little bit of selfishness there. Sorry if you made it this far and wanted some sort of bigger revelation than that. Also because of knowing that there are people out there who think, I've got this going on in my head and it's normal and it won't stop and I've got to live with it, or I just got to walk around and try to think louder than it is. I try to do that a lot, and it's some days it's effective, and sometimes it's painful, and some days it makes me angry, and sometimes it makes me sad. I just don't know how it's going to manifest. It's not productive to do it that way. That phone weighs a good solid ton when those days are happening. I also want people to know that there are those of us, and maybe you're one of these people too, that walk around and look fairly normal. We look okay, we talk okay, we may smile or joke or laugh or work very well or function very well, but we're not as okay as we seem on the inside. And I don't know. Should you go around asking everybody, are you okay? Are you okay? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to any of this is. But it helps me when someone asks how I am, when they actually mean it, and they actually want to listen, especially if they know what I'm talking about. So if you've gotten this far, you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's a good thing. That's absolutely wonderful. You're doing great. And maybe you can find someone who needs a sincere, how's it going, and an attentive ear. Well, that's it for this episode of Taking It Down. I feel like it's one of those classic 80s or 90s sitcoms where we have the very special episode and deal with some heavy shit. But come back next week, and I do believe that me and my cohorts, Adam and Donovan, will be here to talk about, I think we got on the docket next week, Zack Snyder's Netflix film Army of the Dead, and that blistering finale of Mayor of Easttown from HBO. We are not going to get out of talking about that. We've stuck with it for the whole season, so we might as well give it some attention as it is ending its probably first and only season, right? That's a limited run. I hope you subscribe. Let us know how you are, okay? Talk to you later.